Welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide, and today we're diving deep into Shakespeare's Macbeth, one of the most powerful, complex, and rewarding texts you'll study for your OCR GCSE English Literature exam. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need to walk into that exam room with confidence. So, let's get started. Macbeth was written around 1606, and it's one of Shakespeare's shortest but most intense tragedies. It tells the story of a Scottish general, Macbeth, who receives a prophecy from three witches that he will become King of Scotland. Driven by ambition and manipulated by his wife, Lady Macbeth, he murders King Duncan and seizes the throne. But guilt, paranoia, and a series of further crimes lead to his downfall. It's a play about what happens when ambition overrides morality. And it's absolutely packed with material for your exam. For OCR Paper 2, Section A, you'll be answering one question on your Shakespeare text. You might get an extract-based question where you're given a passage from the play and asked to explore a theme or character, linking your analysis to the play as a whole. Or you might get a discursive question asking you to explore a theme or character across the whole play. Either way, you're working for 30 marks plus 4 marks for spelling, punctuation, and grammar. That's 34 marks total, and you should be spending around 45 minutes on this question. Now let's get into the core concepts, the themes, characters, and writer's methods that will earn you the most marks. The first and most important theme is ambition and power. Macbeth is fundamentally a play about what unchecked ambition does to a person. At the start of the play, Macbeth is described as brave and valiant. He's a loyal, heroic soldier. But the moment the witches plant the seed of ambition, everything changes. Shakespeare shows us that ambition itself isn't the problem. It's ambition without moral restraint. Macbeth himself acknowledges this in Act 1, Scene 7, when he says, "I have no spur to prick the sides of my intent, but only vaulting ambition which o'erleaps itself." That word vaulting is brilliant. It suggests ambition that leaps too far, that overshoots its target. Shakespeare is warning his audience that ambition without conscience leads to destruction. Lady Macbeth is equally ambitious, perhaps more so. In her famous soliloquy in Act 1, Scene 5, she calls on the spirits to unsex me here. She wants to be stripped of her femininity, which she sees as a weakness that might prevent her from committing murder. This is a shocking moment for a Jacobean audience who believed women should be gentle and submissive. Lady Macbeth is deliberately transgressing gender norms, and Shakespeare uses this to create dramatic tension. The second major theme is guilt and conscience. Once Macbeth murders Duncan, the play becomes a study in psychological deterioration. Shakespeare was fascinated by the human mind, and he shows us with remarkable psychological realism how guilt destroys a person from the inside. After the murder, Macbeth hallucinates a dagger. "Is this a dagger which I see before me, the handle toward my hand?" The rhetorical question shows his mind fracturing. He's asking himself whether what he sees is real, and the audience understands that it isn't. This is Shakespeare using dramatic irony to show us Macbeth's guilt before he can even articulate it himself. Later, Macbeth sees the ghost of Banquo at the banquet, another hallucination that reveals his guilt, and by the end of the play, it's Lady Macbeth who is consumed by guilt. Her sleepwalking scene, "Out, damn spot. Out, I say," is one of the most powerful moments in the play. The spot she's trying to wash away is the metaphorical blood of Duncan. Shakespeare reverses the roles. The woman who seemed so strong and ruthless is now broken, while Macbeth has become cold and calculating. This reversal is a key structural technique. The third theme is appearance versus reality. The witches open the play with the famous line, "Fair is foul, and foul is fair." This paradox, where opposites are collapsed into each other, sets up the central deception of the play. Nothing is what it seems. Duncan trusts Macbeth completely. "He was a gentleman on whom I built an absolute trust." The dramatic irony here is devastating. The audience knows Macbeth is about to betray that trust. Lady Macbeth advises Macbeth to look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. A metaphor that perfectly captures the theme of deception. The fourth theme is the supernatural and fate versus free will. The witches are central to this. They don't force Macbeth to do anything. They simply tell him what might happen. The question Shakespeare asks is, does Macbeth choose his fate, or is he fated to choose it? This is a question that critics have debated for centuries, and it's one you should engage with in your exam. A perceptive response will acknowledge that Shakespeare deliberately leaves this ambiguous. Now let's talk about the key characters in more depth. Macbeth himself is a tragic hero in the classical sense, a great man brought low by a fatal flaw. His flaw is ambition, combined with a susceptibility to manipulation. What makes him compelling is that he's not simply a villain, he's a man who knows what he's doing is wrong and does it anyway. That moral awareness, that self-knowledge, is what makes him tragic rather than simply evil. Key quotes from Macbeth: "Stars, hide your fires, let not light see my black and deep desires." Act 1, Scene 4: "Will all great Neptune's ocean wash this blood clean from my hand?" Act 2, Scene 2: "Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day." Act 5, Scene 5: "Lady Macbeth is one of Shakespeare's most complex female characters. She begins the play as the dominant partner, more ruthless, more decisive, more willing to act. But Shakespeare shows us that this strength is a performance, a mask. Underneath, she is just as vulnerable as Macbeth. Her breakdown in Act 5 reveals that she could not sustain the psychological cost of their crimes." Key quotes: "Come, you spirits that tend on mortal thoughts, unsex me here." Act 1, Scene 5: "A little water clears us of this deed." Act 2, Scene 2: "Out, damn spot! Out, I say!" Act 5, Scene 1: "The witches function as catalysts. They don't cause Macbeth's downfall, but they accelerate it." Shakespeare's Jacobean audience would have believed in witches as real agents of the devil, so their presence on stage would have been genuinely terrifying. King James I, to whom this play was partly dedicated, had written a book called Demonology about witchcraft. Shakespeare was writing for a specific cultural moment. Now let's move on to exam tips and common mistakes. This is where you can really gain marks. The most important thing to remember is that this is a closed text exam. You cannot bring your copy of the play in, so you need to know your quotations. You don't need to memorize every line, but you should have 10 to 15 key quotations that you can use flexibly across different questions. The best quotations are short, 2 to 6 words, and embedded naturally into your sentences. Don't write "Shakespeare writes, quote, vaulting ambition," end quote. Write "Shakespeare's use of the adjective vaulting suggests an ambition that overshoots its target." The second most common mistake is plot summary. Examiners are very clear about this. They do not award marks for telling the story. Every sentence you write should be analytical. It should be making a point about how Shakespeare creates meaning. Use the word "suggests." It's the most powerful word in your analytical toolkit. This suggests that Macbeth is. This suggests Shakespeare is exploring. This suggests the audience would feel. The third mistake is bolting on context. Context, that's your AO3 marks, should be woven into your analysis, not dropped in as a separate paragraph. Don't write, "In Jacobean times, people believed in witches." Instead, write, "Shakespeare's Jacobean audience, who believed witches were real agents of the devil, would have found the opening scene genuinely terrifying, creating an atmosphere of supernatural dread from the very first moment." The fourth mistake is ignoring form and structure. Remember, Macbeth is a play written for performance. Think about the dramatic effect on the audience. Think about soliloquies, moments when a character speaks directly to the audience, revealing their inner thoughts. Think about dramatic irony, when the audience knows something a character doesn't. Think about the structure of the tragedy, the rise and fall, the five-act structure, the moment of reversal. Now, quick fire recall quiz. Cover your notes and try to answer these from memory. Question 1, what is the first thing the witches say in the play, and what theme does it introduce? Question 2, in Act 1, Scene 7, what does Macbeth say is his only motivation for murder? Question 3, what does Lady Macbeth ask the spirits to do in her Act 1, Scene 5 soliloquy? Question 4, what does Macbeth see at the banquet in Act 3 that reveals his guilt? Question 5, what is the significance of Lady Macbeth's sleepwalking scene? Take a moment to think about those before we move on. The answers: 1, fair is foul and foul is fair introduces the theme of appearance versus reality. 2, vaulting ambition, his only spur is ambition itself. 3, she asks the spirits to unsex me here, to strip her of feminine weakness. 4. He sees the ghost of Banquo. 5. It shows her psychological collapse under guilt, reversing her earlier strength and showing that no one can escape the consequences of their actions. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points to take into your exam. Macbeth is a tragedy about the destructive power of unchecked ambition. Shakespeare uses the supernatural, soliloquy, dramatic irony, and imagery, particularly blood and darkness, to explore themes of guilt, power, appearance versus reality, and gender. The key characters, Macbeth, Lady Macbeth, the witches, Banquo, and Macduff, each represent different aspects of these themes. For OCR Paper 2, you need to write analytically, embed quotations fluently, integrate context naturally, and consider the dramatic impact on a Jacobean audience. Remember, every paragraph should have a clear point, well-chosen evidence, and detailed analysis of the writer's methods. You've got this. Good luck in your exam. And remember, the more you engage with the text as a living, breathing piece of theater, the more your analysis will come alive on the page. See you next time.